Father, thank you for those who, even those that we don't know about, who need your touch, your special healing touch that only you can give. We pray that you would take care of every single person that needs a touch from you tonight, and that you would fill us with your Spirit and help us to understand more about you and your great love for us. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to stick with tonight because I want to get through it, because I know that your seats will only take so much of the message. I used to teach for an hour and a half to 2 hours, but that was many years ago. Thank God I don't do that anymore, huh? That's an amen. Yes. Hey, tonight the message is entitled Pearl of Great Price. Pearl of Great Price. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll start with verse 45. Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 45. First, a little intro into it, of course, before we get into our text. And I know you already know this, but I'm just going to reiterate it again. The Lord Jesus cares so much about us and our eternal destiny that he gives us plenty of warning concerning things that are about to take place. He always alludes to how we are to be watching and to give heed to the warnings, or take our own course of action and go around all the warnings and the barricades that he puts up in our way. We say, no, we'll do it on our own. We can handle this part. You take care of the big stuff. I got the little stuff covered. But it's the little stuff that ends up taking you down. I just want you to keep that in mind. First, a little story, true story. March 30th, 2015, the Chicago Sun-Times reported that a couple drove off of the Klein Avenue Bridge one night, which had been closed since 2009. Believed to have been following his GPS navigation, the Chicago man survived the 37-foot plunge after driving off of the demolished bridge in India. Iftikhar Hussain, age 64, managed to get out of the 2014 Nissan Sentra after it hit the ground, the Times continues to report. Then the car caught fire while his wife was still inside, and sadly, Zohra Hussain, 51, died of burns and was pronounced dead at the scene. Lake County Sheriff's Department spokeswoman Patricia Van Til stated, "Barriers blocked the bridge, but Hussain chose to drive around them." She stated, "The Klein Avenue Bridge is marked with numerous barricades, including bright orange barrels, cones, large wood signs stating road closed with orange striped markings," she told the Sun-Times. "There were even concrete barricades across the road to further indicate the road is closed. Danger ahead." Now, after the accident, they couldn't get anything out of the gentleman to find out what he was thinking when he went around all the warnings. Perhaps the warnings were put there by mistake, or perhaps they were there for somebody else. But their tire tracks led around all of the barricades, each one of them, off to the edge of the shattered bridge to be swallowed up by the darkness below. Now, just for a moment, imagine with me. In that last second or two, when the front wheels are off in the darkness, and they're getting ready to go over the edge. They're hanging out in empty space. They must have realized their mistake a little bit too late. See, what happened was, it seems like they chose to put their trust in the GPS voice rather than what they could see. How many times have we disregarded the warning signs that we've been given and listened to the voice of the world, the GPS system of the world, instead of God's word? We get caught doing the same thing. One of the most famous commercials of all times was a State Farm guy. And that's not an ad for State Farm. I don't have State Farm anymore. I'm sorry if you were a State Farm. But they had a guy who set and acted like a GPS system. Do you guys remember that commercial? And he'd say, turn left, turn right. And this guy's just following along blindly, crashing into things. The world does the same thing to you. Gives you all these noises and voices and says, go this way, go that way, and do this, and turn here. And don't do this, or stand up, or sit down, or whatever. And we're not to listen to those voices. Directly disregarding what we do at times, what the Lord Jesus Christ has shown us clearly, perhaps we think, that Bible stuff is not for me, it's for somebody else. And I know even some Christians who have made that statement. In our text tonight, in chapter 13, my favorite parable is the first one, which is the parable of the sower. But there are actually seven parables within this text of chapter 13, and we're going to work on the last two of them. They're like little mini bursts of wisdom, and they have a barricade of warning we can either ignore or we can take to heart. Now let's start with our first parable. Look at verse 45 and 46 of chapter 13. Are you there with me? Again. Now the reason he says again is because he's already said it before several times as he's been giving parables. First he gave them to the crowd that had gathered. Then when the crowd went home, the disciples came up to him and said, hey, Jesus, do us a favor. Would you please explain these to us? So he explains the parable of the sower among other parables. So again, keeps coming up over and over again. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, Jesus told us parables, and a parable is like a para alongside, or a parabola, like a chute. You want to make sure you have a para chute alongside you if you jump out of an airplane, correct? Well, parables are little stories thrown along a true statement in order to help you understand a little bit more clearly what's being stated. And in this parable, this little story that's thrown alongside a truth, it helps us to understand that it's not simply hearing, believing, and applying the Bible to our lives, but we need to understand, too, what's going on in the Bible. And that takes study. That takes our time to learn those things. That doesn't mean just popping in for our go and glow. You know what a go and glow is? That's when you pop in one time a week and you get your glow going. Because the glow kind of fizzles out after how long? Hour, 2 hours or so? And you wonder if you were even in church. The go and glow. We have to understand Bible truths by looking into them ourselves and opening them up and seeing how they apply to our understanding so we can walk with them. Now, who is the one who sold everything to buy the pearl? Jesus. He sold everything to buy the pearl of great price. And what did he sell to get us the pearl? His very life. The dying on the cross was the greatest price he could pay for you and I. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 states, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Christ gave the greatest price of all to purchase us the pearl of great price. We being the pearl are born out of suffering just as a real pearl is. Now, if you don't know how pearl is made, you can look into it. It's a fascinating story. And there are some divers that go down hundreds of feet to get certain pearls that are very expensive, hard to find, hard to get a hold of. I don't happen to have any of those in case you... I have those faux pas pearls, or pearls. A faux pas, does that mean fake? Fake pearls. I have those type of pearls. A speck of sand or a parasite creates a pearl out of suffering in an oyster. The oyster, a living organism, has an intruder that comes into it and it starts hurting the oyster. So to protect itself, the oyster secretes a substance called mother of pearl or nacre to surround the intruder. It's the secretion that gradually forms the pearl. Thus, the pearl is born out of much torment and pain. Same is true of the believer, the church. We are born out of suffering, travail, and out of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times, it's the pearl that turns out to be the most beautiful that is the biggest irritation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes me very grateful that every time I'm an irritation to the Lord, he covers me with another coating of grace, some more mother of pearl. So I'm a pearl of great price. Am I pretty tonight? Repent, for those of you who said yes. You see, when you receive the Lord Jesus into your life, he starts the process of coating you with grace. Now, some people think when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they get it, that he got a good deal. I hope you never thought that way. But I've known people that have thought that. They say, I was a natural for the Lord. And they're the ones that end up being the biggest problems to him and to most others around him too. Because he has to keep coating them and coating them and coating them. And you just stand back because you're going to get sloshed with grace like you can't believe. Because these people are in so much trouble when they first come to the Lord. He surrounds us with his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness. He coats our iniquities. He coats our mess ups. He coats our sins. He coats our blunders with mother of pearl, with grace. And when we're especially offensive and irritating, he lays on that grace extra thick, and you become truly a pearl of great price to many around you. And they see not you, but they start seeing the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they start giving glory to God, and they say, God, if you can save that person, you can save anybody. And I've said that too. And watched a man get saved in the back of a church. Somebody who I said would never get saved. God saved him. I wasn't happy with the Lord that day. But I got over it. When you're especially offensive and irritating, you're going to get an extra coating. So always know that where sin abounds, grace abounds what? Much more. Another coating. Have you been coated with grace today? Have you messed up today? Have you had to take an opportunity to say, Lord, I blew it. I messed up big time. Well, guess what? You got a coating of grace today. Parable number two. Now, this truly is a fish story. Y'all love fish story, I know, don't you? Back in Missouri, when I was being raised up, my dad used to watch this show all the time. It was called Gone Fishing. And this guy would come up and he'd sing, gone fishing instead of just a-wishing. And then he'd hang a sign on the door. Okay, now that was at the end of the show, of course. But I'd have to watch that show every single week. So you can see now that I'm 160, I still haven't forgotten it. Parable number two is truly a fish story, but it's one you can really relate to. Because fish are such a common thing. Look at verses 47 through 50. Now, are you with me? 47 through 50. again. Heard that before. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, meaning the gospel of the kingdom, that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to the shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. Now, see, we're talking about fish here that came in on the net and all other kinds of things. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked, listen to this, from among the just. They're mixed together. And cast them into the furnace of fire. That's not good news, is it? Where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, in this second little mini burst of wisdom, it's describing a net full of fish, which are both good and bad. Now, I want you to follow this closely so you can catch the drift of it. In our first parable, the parable of the pearl of great price, we were purchased as a priceless treasure, and we were given distinctive privileges to share the gospel with others. Entrusted with God's word, we are to be the light of the world. As he coats us over and over and over and over and over again with grace so that we become what he wants us to be. And when people see us, they see Jesus and they glorify God when that happens instead of seeing us. People see the change and they have to then come to a decision. You see, we make people come to a decision by our following Christ. They have to decide to take what we have or to deny what we have and go around the barricade and go their own way and be saved however they feel salvation comes. People see the change. They make a decision. They want it or they decide to deny Jesus. And this is what really leads us into the net full of all kinds of fish. Some are good. Others are bad. Of course, this is speaking of different types of people. The analogy, the illustration. There's some bad, there's some wicked. Only because they did not heed the warning signs and rather chose to drive around the Lord Jesus to their destruction. In essence, they chose the wide road, their own road. You see, there's only two ways. You have what? The narrow way, or you have what? Broadway. Broadway is beautiful, isn't it? Man, it's lit up. I remember being in New York City and in Times Square and looking up at the glitter and the glow and the glamour of everything that was going on. I said, man, this is cool. This is Broadway. And it was beautiful. But it didn't take long to get sick of it because behind Broadway is the Broadway to destruction. And we want to stay on the narrow way. So we have two ways we're going here. We have two types of fish. We have two types of people. Some bad or wicked only because they didn't heed the warning signs. Now notice what happens when the net is cast into the sea. It gathers every kind. Just like the church gathers a mixture of both good and bad. Did you know that in every church, even in here tonight, now you may not think this, you may not believe this, you may say this can't possibly be true, but it could be. Now, you could all be saved, couldn't you? You could all be going to heaven, into glory. You got a mansion on top of a hilltop, right? Or you may be one of the fish that just happens to be in here in the midst of the good fish. And there's a time coming when a separation is going to take place. And God's going to send his angels to do the separation. It says in one of the parables earlier in chapter 13, it talks about the wheat and the tares. This is a farmer went out and he planted his field and came out after a while and here was these tares. Now, tare looks like wheat, but it's not wheat. And there was these tares in the field. And the farmer says, well, maybe I should go pull up the tares and get rid of them. And the guy said, no, you don't want to do that because if you pull up the tares, you might pull up the wheat with the tares. Now, what does that mean? I've seen in churches before where those judgmental ones have come in and tried to do a house cleaning. You know, they come in and they say, you're saved, you're not, you're saved, you're not. If you do this like I do, you're saved. If you don't, you're not. The wheat and the tares, they get pulled up together and trouble happens. Now tonight, in the midst of our assembly, there's enough of us here that there may be some of you who are unconverted. You may not even know it yet. You might think just because you're mingling in the midst of the net of the good fish that you're a good fish too. You may think you're a holy mackerel. But you're just here along with the rest of the group, and the sorting hasn't taken place yet. The church contains a mixture of both good and bad. Now, there are reasons why some unsaved, unconverted people want to be part of the earthly church. The church stresses morality, virtue, ethics, and justice. We're supposed to. I hope we do. I know we do. Civilization and society usually progress when they're built upon that message. So the church is considered one of the basic institutions of some societies. Now that's changing quickly across the world, isn't it? The church also offers fellowship. You know, there are a lot of lonely people out there. Have you noticed that? There are a lot of lonely people out there. Maybe empty for various reasons, such as being single or divorced, or maybe just a newcomer wanting to meet some people. Or maybe somebody wants to get in and do a little bit of advertising. They go to the church a lot of times. A lot of times in the church, too, you find wolves. Because wolves come in, they're not going to go to a bar. They don't want to barfly. They want to come in and find a nice woman who they can take home and is going to take care of them and be submissive to them. Because the scripture says to be that way. So you'll find them in a church, and sometimes a pastor has to get rid of people like that. And I've had to do it, and I've seen it happen several times. The church instills a sense of spiritual security to some. They feel, I'm in church, so God must be pleased with me. He must accept me because I'm there all the time. And, you know, I even help out some once in a while. I throw a little bit to the offering, too, sometimes. Sometimes it goes by, and I noticed that one lady, she reached in and grabbed some money, so I put some back in. I've heard things like that. So they think they've got it all together because they're in the midst of the church and they're there regularly and they support it and they work for the church. Now, the Bible states, men are as the fish of the sea. They have no ruler over them. You ever watch it on nature? You know, nature's so cool because you see these fish, you know, deep down. A school of fish? You know, there's not a little teacher there with a little blackboard stuff, right, and everything. They go anywhere they want, don't they? And when a great white comes through, where do they go? Away, quickly. There's no ruler over them. They go wherever they want to go, across the ocean. Men start doing the same thing. They have no ruler over them. Men don't like to be ruled. Yet, those who do, some find the church and the authority in the church is what they need. There are so many undisciplined people on earth that people may at times seek out some type of authority or direction, and they know that usually comes through a church that's following the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this as a truth. A time is coming soon when the net is going to be drawn in because it's full. There will come a time when the Father says, Jesus, my son, it's time. So the question becomes, what type of fish are you? You ask yourself that? Are you saved? I'm blunt, right? Are you saved? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and trusted in him for your salvation? So that you're free from the clutches of the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you saved? Do you know that for sure? Because only you can tell if you're saved or not. Only you know. Only you know your relationship with the Lord. Who am I to tell you if you're saved or not? And who are you to tell me if I'm saved? But the Lord, when he sends his angels, he's going to do the separation. And then we're going to know. It states in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, if a person basically tries to take their own way to get saved, and that's why I want to be so clear about this and salvation, it states, for by grace you have been saved. Remember that mother of pearl stuff that you get all lacquered over with? You know, when you mess up, you get a big sloshing of it. And I got sloshed real good today. I woke up this morning, Marie looked at me, and she wanted me to go away. I needed a big sloshing this morning, didn't I, Marie? That's agreement, that look, okay? For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's like this. Let's say you come up and give me a present. I'll use an analogy. Someone gave me a present I can eat tonight. And when she gives me this present, I mean, it causes a flash flood in my mouth, okay? It's so good. I can't wait to get home to eat it. Now, she gave it to me as a gift. But if I reached in my pocket and pulled out, I don't have any money in my pocket. If I went to my wife and got money from her and tried to give it to this lady for what she'd given me, is it any longer a gift? No. I worked for it. You can't work for your salvation. It's a free gift. All you do is ask for it. God gives it to you through grace. You get all lacquered up. Not liquored up. Lacquered up with the mother of pearl grace. And I want to be very clear and upfront on this next issue. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 49 and 50. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When I saw this gnashing of teeth, and I've looked into the words behind this, and it's the worst imaginable sound of wailing you can possibly think of. That's what this is talking about. And the gnashing of teeth is someone who's just grinding their teeth out of hatred for the one who has cast them out when they were in the net with the good stuff, the good fish, you see. And it reminded me of a story years ago when I used to go fishing a lot on Lake Erie. Throughout the line, we've been catching crappie all night long and pulled in this one, and it was fighting, and I was bringing it in, and I thought it was a huge monster coming in. You know, I had a huge crappie, a pan-sizer. And I got it in. We got it up on the shore, and the thing started barking like a dog. True story. They're called a dogfish, and they've got teeth, and they bark like a dog, and they eat other fish. That's a bad fish, isn't it? That would be the kind of fish, wailing and gnashing of teeth, because that's exactly what that fish did. Because we weren't throwing it back in to Lake Erie to take a bite out of somebody swimming down the beach where we used to go. So there would be a wailing and gnashing of teeth. The purpose of the angels coming forth is to separate the wicked from the just. Note who it is that is cast away. The people in the net cast away are perhaps in the assembly of the saved, but not really in the kingdom of heaven due to not receiving Jesus his way. What's the only way you can get to Jesus? Come on. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's free. You can't do it on your own. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care who you know. I don't care about any of that. None of that is going to get you into heaven. because you can't buy your way in. It's a free gift. Thank God it's a free gift. Because what was the cost of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ? Could you pay that price? No. He had to pay it for us. You receive Jesus his way because he is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, it states in John 14, verse 6. He also tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. May I just read it to you? It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now, you say, well, the will of my Father in heaven, that means I got to go do something. No, the will of the Father in heaven is that you receive the Son and be saved. That's his will, that you receive his Son. So if you receive his Son, he says, "The one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Perhaps they were in a church service and demons were being cast out and miracles were happening and visions and all kinds of stuff. And they were in the mix, the net, but they weren't part of the good fish. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now that word there, "I never knew you," that doesn't mean he didn't know about them. Like you surprise God when you get to heaven. You say, "I didn't know you were going to be here today," or something like that. It means there was no personal relationship with him. Now, question. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Interesting how that question keeps coming up tonight, isn't it? You know why? I want you to be saved. I want you to be a good fish. I want you to be a holy mackerel. I want us all to go to heaven together in one fell swoop. I want us to be up there. You may be, or some may be, rubbing shoulders and living among or fellowshipping or worshiping with these good people. But doing that won't make a bad fish into a good fish. A bad person who is bad all through life will usually be bad at the end of life. It's just like one time I heard, you can go to McDonald's every day, three times a day for the rest of your life and eat a McDonald's hamburger, but you will not become a McDonald's hamburger. You may spend the rest of your life in the joint and you're still going to be the same as what you walked in as. To be part of the kingdom of God, you have to take it his way. By grace, you're saved. Now, the next question comes from our last two verses. Look at verses 51 and 52. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe..." Now remember, the scribes were the ones that copied the word of God letter by letter by letter. Exactly the same every single time. "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Now, the disciples, the apostles there said, "Yeah, we understand what you're saying. And we've got some of the New Testament from you now. And we've got the old together." So we've got the old and we've got the new together. And in essence, we're like the scribes. And we're to put both of these together and we're to give them out in that way. What Christ was doing was charging the disciples to share what they had learned. They knew the old truths, the message of the Old Testament, which we should too. Even the book of Leviticus. Remember, loving Leviticus? That's when Wednesday night started going down, I think. They knew the old truths, the message of the Old Testament. And now, since Jesus had come, they were learning the new truths, the message of the New Testament. Now, how does that apply to us? Number one, Christ wants us to understand his word. Secondly, we should ask for an explanation if we don't understand his word. Third, There's no disgrace or reproach if you go up to somebody and ask them what a scripture means. They need the understanding of it. If you can help them, help them, but don't mislead them. Help them by looking at before and after. The context of both sides gives you the pretext in the middle, so that you can put the whole text together and come out with what God wants you to know. Fourthly, so we should always be ready to help others to understand by knowing God's word. It states in somewhere in Peter, I think it's 2 Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, always be ready with an answer for the hope that lies within you. And the word apology comes in there. Always be ready, or apology, or able to speak to the person about why you act the way you do. When somebody asks you about Jesus, can you tell them about him and what he's like and how you can get them to know how to get to him without a whole bunch of messing around? Or do you have to pull out your Bible and go through 500 different pages before you find out it's by grace you're saved through faith, it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God? God wants you to know your word. And now concerning verse 52, the explanation of that is, the householder possesses the treasures of food, both old and new. He had two prime duties in dealing with food. He was to store the old food in a way that it was kept fresh, and he was to add the new food to the old, serving both at the appropriate time. Now, I watch my wife do this. It's the rotation of foods. You know, if you get a bad batch of food because the rotation didn't take place in the grocery store, well, at home you want to rotate your food in the fridge. I mean, the green stuff there is not Roca cheese. It's not. It's something else you don't want to touch. You want to, that, he's telling them, he says, listen, you want to mix them together, the old with the new, in a way that it will edify those who hear what you have to say. Jesus was, in essence, showing them the responsibility to share both old and new as a complete meal. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of whom? God. Do you know God's word? Now let's finish with this to dwell on. And that doesn't mean that we zipper up and close up and clamp down and dig in. Listen to what it states. This is what I want you to take home with you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rain descended, floods came, winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, meaning bedrock, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man, or a bad fish, if you want to go a little bit further, or a wicked person, or somebody who drives around the barricades God gives, who built his house on the sand and the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. How have you built your house? Did you build your house on the Lord through salvation? By grace you're saved through faith. You have to work for it. And he lacquers you all up with grace, and he keeps on putting it on you over and over and over again till you turn out to be something, a pearl of great price. Question. What voice have you been listening to? Lately, especially. The GPS voice of the world causing you to be afraid of what's taking place? God doesn't want you to have fear. There's no fear in God. God cast out fear with love. Have you been listening to the GPS voice of the world and gone around the barricades and tried it your own way? Or are you now listening to the GODS voice of the Lord and you want to make it home safely. See, it always comes down to choice. Whose choice is it? If it was my choice, you'd all be saved. But it's not my choice. It's my opportunity to give you what? A choice. So as Kevin comes up right now, and we pray, you're going to ask yourself, are you truly saved? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And then, of course, there'll be people down here to pray with you. And should you want to receive Jesus, so simple to do. We can do it right down here. No big fanfare, just lead you to the Lord. You have something?
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he?
Together.
How he loves you and me. Yes. He gave his life. What more could he give?
God has given you opportunity to be sure in your mind. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His Spirit empower you to do all that He's called you to do. May He cleanse you, fill you, use you, and help you to know that you have the strength of the Lord working on your behalf. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, people will be up here to pray for you. God bless you.